What's up, everybody? Welcome to PSI Love You XOXO, episode 64. I'm one of your hosts, Greg Miller, alongside he only does everything, Colin Moriarty.
It's good to be here with you today.
And the pure one, Tim Geddes.
Let Tim host.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you're listening to this or watch on an MP3 version of the show or watching it on YouTube, it's important to point out we are doing this live right after the end of the PSX 2016 press conference. So we'll go through, try to fact check as we go, but you know how these posts go. Something goes up, they didn't announce the conference. We're just going to react to the conference, though, along with you. If you're in the Twitch chat, thank you so much. We'll be pulling questions from there and from Twitter and doing a full show for you. And of course, as I've said before, this is episode 64. It'll go live immediately. Then on Tuesday at 9 a.m., you'll get the PSX panel that we're doing tomorrow, Sunday at noon. Colin,
yeah,
what'd you think?
That was great. Before the conference started, we talked about something I just said was that I think that for Sony to really make PSX a thing and for the press conference to be a thing and for people to pay attention, they need to have make things pop. They need to have big announcements.
For people to pay attention outside of us.
Right,
outside of the nerdy PlayStation kids. You're talking about USA Today, mainstream press.
Exactly. Yeah. And I think they did that. Naughty Dog opened and closed the show. So I thought that Naughty Dog is...
Which was predicted.
Is I think pretty easily the best developer in the world. And that's a Sony owned studio. And so to showcase them in that way, I think is really, really bold. And I think it's awesome. And I think it was a nice red herring to put Uncharted out there early, because then I think that took The Last of Us off of the board for a lot of people, that there's no way that they would do both of those things.
I don't think it was you that, I think that was your prediction. One of them, not an official prediction, yeah, but it was that my prediction was that they would do a playthrough of the Uncharted story DLC. And then, yeah. And that you added, what if they end with Last of Us? And we're all like, that'd be fucking awesome. And that's what happened.
So it's cool to see that.
Yeah.
I like that they've announced it. I think now they need to do a similar thing they did with The Last of Us and to disappear for a while.
Sure.
And I think they're going to.
I mean, with the phrasing of it, right? Sean Layden saying this is from one of our developers. It's incredibly early on. I think that says all you need to say, mm-hmm. right? I don't think you'll see any more at E3, probably, right?
No, I don't think you'll see. I mean, I would really love if we didn't see anything about the game until 2018.
Yeah.
And then I think it'll probably be a 2019 game. So, so it was really, really cool to see. I think it looks great. I am happy that Joel and Ellie are back. We often conjectured back on Beyond, especially a lot about the way the game ends, the original game ends, and that my thing was always that I wanted to pick up right after that,
right?
To literally be in the ending in the beginning of The Last of Us 2.
She looks like she's aged up a bit.
Yeah,
here.
So she's older. It looks like a few years have passed.
Time jump, though.
Yeah, true.
Good to see them reunited. I think that it would have been, I think you could have gotten away with doing a different story in that world. I think that would have been a mistake, though. And I think that having those touchstones in that world are really important. I mean, obviously the clickers and everything are also touchstones in that world, and the fireflies, but Joel and Ellie are the characters you really care about.
Sure.
And we're getting way ahead of ourselves, but my assumption is that they're really going to kill Joel this time to make sure that they don't do another one after this. I think it's imperative to do this game.
I like that they do part two. That's a good title for it, right?
And I think that means that it's going to start right after the game. I think that there could be some form of time jump because if you're going to do this, I do think that they need to make some big moves with it, with the story. And I think that a good way to get around that could be like, this is what's happening. Time jump a little bit.
Yeah.
As you see in The Walking Dead.
Sure.
And I want to say so, because I'm seeing some of in the chat, people are saying it's going to be out in 2018. There's no way this game's coming out in 2018. If you, there's just no way. So get that out of your mind now. No way. I think 2019 might even be pushing it. So they take their time. The resources are clear. You know, Naughty Dog was two teams and now they're one team again. And they kind of move and leave like disparate elements, it seems like, behind. And that seems like what happened with the Uncharted 4 DLC. So the team has literally been working on this game for maybe 3 months, 4 months, 5 months. And they're rendering things, obviously, and stuff like that. So there's absolutely no way in hell the game's coming out in 2018. So get that out of your mind now.
Get it out of your fucking faces. Tim, what did you think of the overall conference?
Oh, my God. Your dreams continues.
I know,
friend.
Right? Is it just a life of dreams now? That's the real question.
I hope so. I hope Your Dreams 3 is right around the corner. And I think it could be. I think that they understand. They obviously get it. Their conference is now, minus the PlayStation 4 Pro conference, which was a totally different
type of thing. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And now, again, I was saying this on PSI Love You last week, but I'm happy in retrospect that we had that, because it allowed this conference to be this conference. Mm. It gave the space for this to have the big announcements. And if we're going to get in a cycle where at E3 and PSX we get these levels of press conferences,
yeah,
I'm fucking down, man. That's two times a year you're getting hyped. You're building things up. Here's a lot of stuff happening right now. Here's stuff happening really soon. And here's stuff to look forward to in the future.
Sure.
That's what you got to come with those punches.
Well, this is one of those things where I feel like we have to have that, try to step back and be objective, right? Because I know at last year's PSX conference, right? We'll all admit the ending was bad, right? But Adam Boyes was talking about when they try to plan these conferences, right? They try to give all these different moments so that there's a moment or like three for every person. So that you don't care about every announcement, but you have enough in there to care about. And I feel like the deck is stacked here because two moments immediately are Uncharted and Last of Us, which everybody cares about. And then to throw in a Parappa the Rapper, to throw in a Patapon for me, to throw in Nier, you show different stuff. I feel like this is a deck that's stacked, or I'm sorry, this is a deck that's stacked, yeah. Right? To get out there and show you, like, I mean, Ni No Kuni 2 showing more of that. Gravity Rush 2, of course, so close. The Geo coming out and talking to the Vita people, which I said he would. I mean, again, no brainer that Geo's going to do that. This is what Geo does. But to come out and announce five Vita games and say, here they all are, and this is what we're doing. I think this is just a fucking great conference in there.
Yeah.
The only downside is something we called out a couple times in there is they did two sizzle reels in there for different, here's other things coming from PlayStation 4, here's things coming to PlayStation VR, and they didn't bother putting up logos or titles.
Yeah.
So I'm watching games, I'm like, that looks cool, but I don't even know how to follow up on that.
Yeah, I agree with the, you know, and we talked about this a long time ago, that I think that because PSX and E3 are so opposed on the calendar, that they do make the perfect six-month points for in order to announce things, and I like that they're kind of maybe hopefully going to go away. Other than that, you have to give the TGS crowd a little bit of something and whatnot, sure. Too. Yeah, I think that starting with Uncharted is a strong move, and it looks great. I am a little concerned with the idea of showing so much of it. If we go based on the only other time Naughty Dog has ever done single player DLC, you're looking at something that's probably going to be maybe 90 minutes long, and they basically just showed you 5% of it, you know, like, yeah. if we're going on that metric, and I'm like, well, that's kind of
what's interesting.
I really don't feel like they should have showed anything. I wish I didn't have to see that. Actually,
chat's calling this out, and I want to throw it out there too. On New York's Twitter, what they tweeted is, we have a new Uncharted game. Uncharted: The Lost Legacy is a new standalone story chapter. Chloe Fraser and Nadine Ross are back.
Right.
Interesting. It's not even interesting that it's not being called DLC. I'm saying it's interesting. It's being called chapter.
Yeah.
Uncharted chapters are very defined, right? They are, sure. an hour and a half. Yep. Like, yeah, it's going to be interesting how long this.
I'm shocked that it wasn't Sam.
Oh yeah, like, yeah.
Whoa. Well, and maybe there is a chapter with them.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's an interesting backstory, right? Of course, I know that, I think you and I disagree on this. Like, I like Nadine a lot. I really enjoyed her character and her performance in there. So to get more of her, a younger version of her, to see how she went off onto this thing and how that crossed with Chloe, I'm interested.
Right. And Sony likes to do, you know, I think people are reading a little too much into the standalone thing. Left Behind was also standalone. And the idea that it's technically a prequel. And so it's really should be played first if you want to play things sequentially. Although I wouldn't, because it spoils things in the actual game.
Don't do that.
I remember when I went and saw the Left Behind before it came out, saw it a few times, and went to Naughty Dog, and went also to Sony HQ. And I think they play up the short and tight and standalone experience. And I think that that's something that comes from first party. It really actually started with Infamous 2 DLC being standalone. Mm-hmm. So people reading into that. I think are reading into it too much. I think you're looking at a standalone thing, but they're basically saying you don't have to have Uncharted 4 to play this. It'll probably be $15 or $20, and I assume it'll be 90 minutes to 2 hours long. So that was my only, you know, I was excited to see it. I was excited to see that it's a story about characters we didn't get that didn't get quite a lot of love in the one character
4.
In particular. I don't care really about Nadine, but Chloe in particular. I think it's cool that we're giving her some love here, because I think she's a really actually awesome and essential 100%. Character to the story. And my only takeaway, yeah, was I wish I didn't actually see any of that. I wish I can take that in my head, because I know that when I see, play through that sequence, I'm like, well, you know, something's ruined there or whatever.
Sure.
I like to, so, but you got to jump on the grenade every once in a while. And I think it was a very strong and awesome way to open the show.
Sure. Followed up, I'm sorry, you want to go on
that? I was going to say, like, I know that there's a slim chance of this happening, but what if that isn't in the game? Because this definitely seemed like a big reveal of Chloe that you wouldn't necessarily need in the game. You know, this seemed very PSX-y, very like, I'm going to show you this. And like that whole thing was a buildup to her taking the hood off.
Yeah, I definitely think it's in the game.
It's certainly in the game.
I think if anything, you're going to get beforehand Chloe not in the thing, talking, like, and then that leading into this mission of how this all happened. And then you go from there. Yeah, because you figure like when she's like dodging behind the door and people are opening, like that's probably gameplay. You're controlling that. You know, that is something that's
happening. Yeah, the camera a lot closer too than normally is. More Last of Us than even Uncharted 4.
Yeah, yeah. From there, we jumped into Marvel vs. Capcom Infinite.
Which, the thing is, like, that is such a huge moment that was spoiled because there was so many rumors going into it. But, like, if that just came out of nowhere, that would have been fucking huge.
Sure.
And, I mean, even now, I think it's great that, so, calling it Infinite, they're doing the platform thing. They tried it with Street Fighter V, but I think that now they obviously learned a lot, and I think they're going to go forward with it, and not putting a number to it is good, because this is a game that we'll be able to get for years with a bunch of new characters constantly being added. You have so many characters on both ends, and it's good. It's like Smash Bros. Like just end it here. I don't need more sequels to it. Just keep adding on to what is. The trailer, honestly, from a hype perspective, It was a little low on the
but
hype.
Again, I think it's because we got rumors got away from this one that we knew it was coming, and like I was waiting for Spider-Man to swing in, and I was like, is it going to be Insomniac Spider-Man? Is it going to be something cool like that? And okay, but
I think my problem Captain is like MVC2 was so awesome for me, and there was such a big gap between it and MVC3, and no one ever thought it was really going to happen.
Yeah,
and when that trailer dropped, like that trailer had so many moments, and even the first trailer showed a lot of people. This one only showed 4 people, and that's cool. Mega Man, fucking huge. Him being back, yeah, big deal. Captain Marvel, awesome. They're definitely going the MCU route like we heard about.
But, yeah, no X-Men, right? Fox.
What this means to me is it's disappointing in terms of I wish that trailer was more hype, but it's exciting that we're going to get a lot more hype trailers. We're going to get a lot of character.
Well, I mean, you figure too, and that's the big thing. Remember, they're playing tonight at the Capcom Cup. They're going to debut gameplay. So I'd imagine new characters there even where they're going to go out and show.
Maybe. I mean, Capcom always has small builds. I mean, that's why I wasn't surprised. Capcom always reveals their fighting games with a few characters, like built in the builds anyway. So, and then slowly builds those out.
But not MVC3 though.
Right. But this game, I think, is under more scrutiny because first of all, I think that they've kept things secret. I think the big thing is that it's coming out next year. So the game's been in development for a long time, and I think, and it hadn't leaked actually for a long time, which I think is kind of interesting. And I was disappointed. It's not Mega Man. It's X. And that was one of the things that I was a little disappointed in and was hoping. Because I'm trying to read into things with Mega Man specifically, and the way Capcom treats him is that Mega Man being in, you know, having an amiibo and being in Smash Brothers is kind of cool. And then X being in this or whatever, they're still in their minds. And I'm hoping that, hopefully we get something kind of cool out of it, you know, in the future for a standalone Mega Man game, which we've wanted for a long time. But I was like that. And obviously Marvel vs. Capcom 3. So the Marvel vs. Capcom games being removed from PSN was a really big deal. And a lot of people were really pissed about that. So having that back and getting over those hoops with Marvel is really cool. And we can read a lot into the way Marvel's treating its shit now, too. I just think that
now today.
Out today as well. The one thing exclusive that I will say about Marvel vs. Capcom Infinite, I was curious as if Capcom's exclusive relationship on the fighting scene would stay with this particular game. It sounds like not, based on some things people are sending me, some tweets.
Yeah, there's a Capcom tweeted out about it, right? Consoles. And saying consoles. Yeah,
and I think
yeah,
it would so be very stupid happening. To leave it on, yeah. I think that they might have learned their lesson with Street Fighter V, actually. So, yeah, there's that.
You mean fighting game of the year, Street Fighter V? Then up next was the Wipeout Omega Collection, which was cool. It was really cool when it seemed like you're getting a new Wipeout game, and then when it was just the collection of everything that's come before, you're like, all right.
Yeah, I mean, Sony shut that studio down, so I feel like it would be a little shitty for them to be like, we're making a new Wipeout game with just a new team.
Sure.
Although those guys are banging around still, but we haven't had a new Wipeout game actually in a long time. So so it is cool that at least we're getting a collection. And I think that they're doing these things with this, with the Parappa, Patapon, Loco Roco collection, and with Crash to, I think, kind of gauge interest on new games.
100%.
I think these are all options. And so I think a new Crash game is probably a given based on the reception of that. We'll talk about that in a minute.
Yeah, it's coming up here in a second. Yeah. I mean, yeah, because next up is Destiny. They have the Dawning, whatever. December 13th through January 3rd. More Sparrow Racing, more things to do, stuff like that. If you're a Destiny nerd, you know all about it probably. Then, yeah, Crash Bandicoot, Insane Trilogy.
Woo!
How'd it look?
It looks great. Yeah. It looks super great.
And now you're giving up the ghost that could play on Vita?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Which, thank God, cool. That's even better. Because
you were just expecting it up-res'd. Is that the deal?
Well, I mean, he said from the ground up, but I didn't expect it to look this good.
Yeah.
I mean, like when we were watching my live reaction, I was just like, man, like there's nothing wrong with this. And of course, now I can be nitpicky now that I've looked at some screens and stuff. It's like, it is a little too clean. It is a little too cartoony compared to like the kind of mossy look that the originals had.
Okay.
But hey, I'm fucking super sold, super stoked for it. Looking at the press release here, there's PS4 Pro support with enhanced 4K.
Finally, 4K. Yeah, that's what I've been waiting for. Thank you very much.
The game's going to be $40.
Okay.
So that's cool.
And yeah, over on the PlayStation blog, they have it up here saying that they're calling it a remaster plus. Rebuilt levels based on the original geometry, rebuilt characters following the original designs, rebuilt cinematics inspired by the originals. And then, yeah, adding a whole bunch of new features you're talking about already.
And the most important things, and this is where the games needed some help, is full analog stick support, a united save system, and unified checkpoint system, making it easier than ever for new fans to enjoy the classics. So they're fixing the problems of Crash 1.
Great.
Fuck yes. Obviously, I'm very excited about this. I thought they did a great job, and it was way more impressive looking than I think any of us expected.
Yeah, yeah. It's definitely cool. It's one of those watching that, like, that's the way I'd like to play those games. I need to play those games because obviously I give you so much shit for them in a jovial sense.
Yeah.
But here I am. I'll definitely jump in there for the Insane Trilogy. What does the press release say? Just 2017? Is that 2017?
They're sticking to that. Okay. Also, weird name to call the Insane Trilogy, but I enjoy that because it does kind of leave options open where it's like, all right, cool. They might be doing more with Crash.
And I assume, yeah, like you're saying, Colin, if it does well, they will.
I think they're just totally going to monitor these different collections.
I think we're getting to those.
Buy it, please.
Crash Bandicoot, yeah, so that's great. Then RE7 has the final demo coming out on PlayStation.
That's huge. Demo today. I didn't think for a second this game was going to get delayed, and they're sticking to that date, and I know that was something we were talking about specifically on the show, so that is coming out in January. And it looks fucking awesome. I really, 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 really can't wait to play that game in VR. I really hope that it's the proving ground for being able to do AAA experiences in VR and giving devs a reason to go the extra mile to make their games render that way, because I think that Resident Evil obviously fits in the mold of a game you'd want to play in VR. And I was super happy to see the reaffirmation of the date.
Yeah, that's the thing. Of course, I was making a bunch of predictions that I thought I was going to get delayed. I'm still interested. Tomorrow's the big day for me in that game where I'm going to go take my private demo of it and see. Because right now, on paper, watching the thing, talking to you, I feel like that's a game that you won't end up doing. I think you'd get it and it's just not going to work. And that's just based on the scuttlebutt I've heard about Resident Evil VR. So I'm excited to put it on myself and have a reaction for that PSX panel tomorrow.
Either way, I'm excited about the game. If I can't play in VR, that would be very disappointing.
Yeah.
But I'm hoping that it works. They're making a big deal out of it, and I don't know that Sony would let them or Sony would be in on it if it wasn't working properly.
Sure.
But I'm skeptical as well. But yeah. I'm skeptical anytime I put on the headset until experience proves it to me.
Ace Combat 7 was the next VR game shown there. Cool.
Yeah. I mean, VR is made for games like that. And so I think that's going to be it's very similar to Eve Valkyrie, a game I wouldn't probably play otherwise.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Street Fighter V debuted a new character, Akuma.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Not a huge surprise.
Yeah, exactly. And then, Parappa the Rapper, 20th anniversary edition there. Demo out right now on the PSN. You can go jump up and get it.
Fucking
but
awesome.
Then Parappa had been leaked. Okay, fine. And then out of left field, they end it while I'm taking notes that, they're also putting out a remastered Loco Roco and a remastered Patapon, which is fucking phenomenal. And if I can ask you, just buy the Patapon one. Buy any of the ones you want, but buy Patapon so they make more Patapons. That's all I'm asking you to do.
Yeah, again, yeah. I think this is another monitoring situation. Yeah. First of all, it made me feel old that Parappa is going to be 20th anniversary. I remember getting that game in 1997 and a long time ago. And not really knowing what to expect. Very short experience, but really, really unique and important experience. And what I was seeing when they were talking about the Parappa 20th anniversary was I was like waiting for them to bring up Umjamrlami, which is a great game, or unfortunately Parappa the Rapper 2, which is not good. And I'm glad that they stayed away from I could have done with Umjamrlami because I think that game's fucking rad, but Parappa the Rapper 2 is a really bad game, and so I'm glad that they stuck with that and then kind of extended it to some of these other Japanese centric A level IP that have been dormant for a while, because I really Loco Roco not so much, but I am a little surprised that Patapon's kind of gone away.
But this is, I'm 1,000% behind you that it's a monitoring situation because they don't want to jump in and have what we talk about here all the time, right? Where it's like, okay, Dishonored was a critical darling. Let's make a sequel. Okay, nobody cares about the sequel. All right, Beyond Good and Evil. People want a sequel. Here it is. People love Mirror's Edge. Let's make a sequel. Nobody's buying the sequel. Like, you have to put your money where your mouth is, right? And actually put it down. Yep. Now, granted, Patapon, not on the scale of those games, but the same business model applies, right? Let's not go and make a new one if we can just fucking figure out if people actually want a new one. Although it is disturbing they're putting out number one. Because number one is the clunkiest, craziest. You're going to need a guide to play to understand who you're leveling up and why you're leveling them up. Whereas like 2, 3 got better and better. But again, beggars can't be choosers. Make a fucking special edition PS4 Pro and I'll
also
buy it.
I don't know that it's beyond the realm of possibility that within these collections, individually will be Parappa the Rapper, like Loco Roco games, and then Patapon games.
I think they're going to be three different things.
No, I know that's what I'm saying. So that's why I'm wondering if like there'll be actual verticals for all.
I hear you, but I think that like Parappa, where they would have said that, right?
They did for Crash.
They would have got out in front of that with this messaging. If they had said that for Parappa and then been quiet about Loco and Patapon, I'd be like, oh, okay, cool. But the fact they didn't, I think it's just going to be these one games they just put out.
Maybe. I think that it gives them more opportunity to talk about it later.
Sure. But I think you would have talked about it now for Parappa. Then Knack 2. It's been Mark Cerny's baby that's been developing since forever.
We've known about this game for a long time, and not a huge surprise. I think what they read into it here was, A, they had the engine working, and Knack sold really well. Yeah. Now, I think that we're a little detached from the reality of probably normal people playing Knack, like people that just bought it at launch or bought it for their kids or whatever. That's probably a different experience, and I think there were some balancing issues, and the game didn't run very well. Crashed a lot. So I think that there's some things to fix, but I'm not super surprised. I mean, it leaked in a CV like 2 years ago. So this is a game that's been percolating for a while. What I'm more shocked about is that they announced that they had the balls to announce it at a conference.
The hype. I'm telling you, man, they know that, like, as much of a joke as it is, it's like a meme. They want that shit even for the PSX people. People lost their shit. It is what it is.
People are excited about announcements and sequels. And some people, had fun there in that knack world.
I don't think anyone did, but...
You could get small, remember? You could be big or you could be small.
I tried to give it my all.
Kept hard locking on you, right? Gravity Rush 2 then got a trailer. Gran Turismo got a trailer then. And then they got to the big one, Ni No Kuni 2. 2017.
Yeah, I'm surprised. I don't believe it. We'll see what happens when the time comes. I took a few interesting components out of Nino, because I'm a huge fan of Ni No Kuni. I really, really loved the first game. The combat, so we got to see gameplay, which is cool. The combat looks great. I noticed that there were no animal or monster proxies in the combat, and I'm wondering if they're keeping that out, because you really weren't typically fighting with your own characters in the game. So I'm wondering if they're going to tease that later, or if the mechanics are changing. I wonder if people didn't really find that Pokemon-esque aspect of it satisfying. I thought it was fucking cool, and that's really at the heart of the game, so I doubt that they're going to get rid of that. But I did notice that in the combat. That seemed to have been missing, but maybe I missed it. Maybe it was going too quickly, or I just missed that particular scene. The art, even though Studio Ghibli has nothing to do with this, the art looks fantastic, both in game and in the cutscenes. The whimsical and kind of fantastic nature of the game, I think, was why it was so good, and it was super fucking sad. And I'm wondering what the plot will be, because the big draw of Ni No Kuni was that the dude's mom dies. And you're trying to, like, go find her, like, or revive her or whatever. And it's, like, fucking really sad game. And really, really, really shockingly. I remember we were at IGN and I got permission to post the beginning of the game early so to show everyone. And people were, like, fucking heartbroken. And I'm like, that was the key to that game, was the sorrow.
Yeah,
and I wonder if... the storytelling was important, but the sadness was, like, the juxtaposition of the colorful nature of the game and the cartoony nature of the game with the actual really fucking sad and dire story, I thought was really cool. And so I'm interested to see what the story of this one is, but I mean, I'm obviously in. I mean, it looks great.
Yeah. Then it was my boys, the Yakuza. Yakuza 6 and Yakuza Kiwami. Kiwami out summer 17. I think Yakuza 6 was what? It was fall 17 or... I saw it on the blog here a second ago. It's fine. I'm stoked. I love Yakuza games. But the problem is once you play one Yakuza game, you've played all the Yakuza games. Yeah. So whichever one you jump into, I wouldn't be expecting to jump into the next one necessarily. I know a lot of people love it. I love Cosmo, don't get me wrong, but they all fall into the same thing pretty quick. Colin, then it was Danganronpa V3.
Yeah, we finally get a little taste of it. It looks awesome. I was afraid when they first showed it because NIS is bringing the first two to PlayStation 4 in a couple of months, and they had just announced the date. So I was it's great to see Danganronpa on the stage, but I thought that they were just showing, Danganronpa 1 and 2, but they were showing 3. And it's good that there's a whole new murder mystery going on. You're going to be killing people in order to stay alive. Monokuma in it. Monokuma cubs.
This is exciting. This is a
big
thing.
Now I got it because the second one introduced Monami, who was the female Monokuma.
Of course.
Maybe they have some little fucking cubs. So I'm super stoked about that. Danganronpa really is a fantastic and very special franchise. Super Japanese, but really, 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 really great. Very well localized by NIS as well. And coming to PlayStation 4 and Vita. Some people were confused about that, but they really are. They are bringing this game to Vita in the West. So super, super stoked about that.
One of five Vita announcements from good friend Gio Corsi when he was out there. So that's always exciting to have him out there doing some stuff. Catching back up with Lenny. Then we had a Nier Automata trailer. Tim, you're in on it.
Looks hype.
Yeah.
The game looks great.
Yeah, can't wait.
Release date, March 7th.
Yep, looking forward to that.
17. They were previously saying February, I think. So.
So this is a big one.
But whatever, at least there's like a date.
Sure. Then it was Yi's Origin.
Yeah, Yi's Origin is coming. So we had not Oath of Fel'Ghana, that was on PSP, but the what was the one that came out a couple
Memory
years
ago? Of Celsia.
Memory of Celsia, yeah, of Celsido, which I thought was really, really great. And really scratched an itch on Vita. Action RPGs do really well. And this is an old series. I mean, this series goes back to like TurboGrafx. This is a really, really special franchise. So I'm glad that I'm not super surprised that it's coming west, because other games of a similar ilk, not necessarily in gameplay, but in terms of the anime aesthetic, Sword Art Online. They keep bringing those games out. They keep banging those games out of Bandai Namco. So it's not a huge surprise that, well, others are looking at this and saying, well, we can find a niche here of people that want to play this game. And again, coming to Vita. So at PS4
Vita
as well.
Too.
So obviously I'm in, and it's soon.
Yeah.
Which is cool too.
2017. Then they showed Dreadnought, which will be a PlayStation 4 console exclusive. This is a game I've talked about it before. It just didn't work for me when I played it at E3 years ago, but I know that it is a hit. It's big on PC, so exciting that it's coming here. Pyre was next from our friend Supergiant, people who did Transistor. Again, there's a Let's Play up on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames. Game's beautiful as always. Looks like a lot of fun. Those guys, Supergiant gets it, man. They're fucking awesome.
Yeah, and I think, again, what I was saying about their particular games as being their third is that they seem to understand, again, everyone's hung up on the aesthetic, which I think is great, but the design philosophy behind their games is super cool because they're different. They're really all radically different games, but they have an RPG heart that, like, they know what they want to make. They're making role-playing games.
100%.
So yeah, I'm stoked to see that as well. I never even got through Transistor, so I need to go back and that's like a game that's like it's like so far gone now. I don't know if I'll.
I know that's the problem. Yeah, I remember I was super hyped on Transistor off of PAX and different things. Then it came out at a bad time, and I played it and I left. It was one of those games I left like halfway through and then tried to come back, and I have to restart it at some point if I really want to do it. But Bastion, of course, out on Vita right now, so everybody should be playing the one and only Bastion. Then Vayne got announced.
That looks awesome.
Yeah, some crows in a weather vane.
Yeah. It's another one of those things where who the hell knows what the game actually is, but I mean that I love the tone, I love the music and the look of all of it. So
yeah
that's one that I'm definitely keeping my eye on.
A lot of time passage going on there as things were being built in the background and being broken down.
I hope the gameplay doesn't have any of that. Like I hope that it's not like a buildy type thing. I don't want the Minecraft bullshit. I hope that's story elements and shit.
Yeah, you just want to see a landscape that's influenced by your actions.
Yes.
That sounds good. Next up was Absolver. This is a 2017 game. It's from Devolver Digital. PlayStation 4 has exclusive content, but it's online melee action. That's what they're describing.
Devolver's publishing. I forgot. I didn't see which studio was making it, but they're putting out more and more codes, which I think is really really cool. Or codes. Sorry, I'm texting someone about a code now. Actually, someone you know. But
I already have a code then for you.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
Cool. I'm getting another one.
Get one for Tim.
Okay, hold on a second.
But yeah, if I'm thinking about who it is. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, it's interesting. Yeah, Devolver, though, Devolver's one of those, if you're not watching the industry close enough, you wouldn't understand how many games they're putting out, whether it be Nuclear Throne, whether it be something else. They're doing a lot of great stuff over there, a lot of good shit, as people say. So yeah, keep an eye on that. Then we got a new trailer for What Remains of Edith Finch. You know, we love those guys.
Yep.
Giant Sparrow.
Yeah, Giant Sparrow.
Awesome.
So for people that don't know, these are the guys. So they've been at Sony Santa Monica, actually, for a pretty long time. Come from the same mold of that game company, the same idea. They've signed a 3-game contract.
Unfinished Swan.
And so Unfinished Swan was the first one.
What Remains of Edith Finch.
And Edith Finch is the second one, and they'll have a third one after that. They seem to, I think they made Unfinished Swan without a producer, or got a producer very late, which I think kept them off schedule, and it seems like they're maybe wildly off schedule again. Mm. So I'll be interested to see what it is. I'm sure it's going to be fantastic. It seems very strange, and that's what they're all about. And you guys should really go back and play Unfinished Swan if you haven't. It's a very quick experience and one of the great games of that year, 2012, I want to say.
Also available on Vita, so why not? Jump in there. You know what I mean? Come on now. Then calling your boys, Housemark, Nex Machina.
Yep.
This is the Jarvis game.
This is the Eugene Jarvis game that they teased a long time ago. Of course, Eugene Jarvis is really the guy behind Defender, which is one of the great games. And what was interesting about that is one of the great arcade games Resogun is heavily inspired by Defender. And so I think that brought a conversation upon with these two people where they made a different game. Some people are confused thinking that Matterfall was renamed or canceled. This is a different game than Matterfall.
Yeah, they announced two things out there.
Yep. So Matterfall, I think, is much closer. And I'm surprised that we haven't seen it yet. And I'm going out to lunch with them tomorrow with Housemark and with Eugene. So I'll be able to talk to them more about this game, but particularly I want to know about what's going on with Matterfall as well. The cool thing about this is that similar to Alien Nation, they've seemed to invested in storytelling art and like cutscenes that are a little bit more dynamic than say what we saw in Dead Nation.
Yeah. Well, that's what's interesting. Over on the PlayStation blog, if you don't mind, Mikhail, our friend, popped up and he has a post here about the game, right? And so he goes, blah, 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 talking about it. The most explosive top-down action shooter Housemark has ever created. Taking hints from both Robotron and Smash TV, Nex Machina focuses on pure arcade action, voxel destruction, and competition. But before delving into that, more of that, I want to talk about the game's setting. And he goes, in a world where humans have become more and more addicted to technology, machines have evolved from simple helpers to replacements for unwanted jobs. Conscious entities with their own feelings. And he goes on, like you're talking about, was world-building stuff, right? That isn't foreign to Housemark, but never the big part. It's interesting, their first step here, their first impression is, look at our cutscenes, look at this, let me tell you on the PlayStation blog all about this.
It's a little different. I know some people are anxious for them to do something else, and they have done other things. They you know, Outland was a totally different game, which was awesome as well. Which I think is going to actually be like Matterfall.
And remember,
I
think you're one of those free Xbox Live games with gold right now, so you can pick that up.
Outland?
Yeah.
Oh, great. So Yeah, I will be interested to see how this particular game turns out. I'll be interested to see what they say to me on the record tomorrow as well about it and about Matterfall. But my assumption is that this is there's going to be a lot of alienation in this particular game, and I think that there's going to be a lot of Outland in Matterfall. So, or something combined with Resogun. Sure. I still feel like that they're going to be. But I know some people are like, well, we want to see them do something else. And I'm like, no, you don't. I mean, that's the thing is that you really don't want to see them do something else. These guys understand gameplay that no one else gets.
You want to see them do something else, but they do something else every time. This is always the thing of like, oh man, another Mario game, but every Mario game is different in some way, right? There are these different buckets the Mario games go into. So to see them, do an Outland or do a Dead Nation or do a Super Stardust or, jump around and make some. These aren't the exact same. Similar ideas, similar concepts, but that looked fucking awesome.
It does, they're also not afraid of walking away from things, too. Super Stardust Ultra wasn't even done by them, so they helped and helped produce that. But that's not an IP. They don't own these IPs. I'm curious about this particular one because I have to go back and watch the trailer again. Is Sony publishing this one as well? Because originally this was supposed to be a game that was supposed to be on all platforms, or at least that they were trying to do something outside of the Sony ecosystem. And if they're doing another game with Sony, it's like just get in there? I don't understand. Like, they've only released one game that's not exclusive to PlayStation in the last 10 years. So other than they did like Angry Birds ports and stuff like that too, but all of their games are PlayStation exclusives except for Outland. Something interesting to consider.
Very, very indeed.
But they should just do what they do best. They do twin stick shooting better than anyone, and that's pure gameplay, and they know what the fuck they're doing. They're so good.
Up next was the sizzle of console first titles. Included Chasm, which we love. Dan Edelman's title. We're big fans of it.
Chasm,
get on that
very,
one.
Very cool. Hope to see Dan tomorrow.
Nidhogg 2 on there, and then there's a bunch of stuff. But again, this is what I was bitching about earlier in the show. Great sizzle reel. Some of those games, I was like, what is it? Why aren't you telling me what that is exactly? Then Grasshopper's Let It Die popped up. They say it's one of those that's out now for free. It was always going to be free to play. I remember them. They've been trying to get me to take demos forever on this game. Skateboarding Death or whatever. It looks goofy. I mean, it's free. Jump in there and have whatever. Mother Russia Bleeds is out today as well. Then it was Guru Mark... That's not how you say it. Guru Mark of the Wolves is what I wrote down, but I think that's
it's Garu, I think.
Garu Mark of the Wolves. Yeah. That's out today. That's a Vita game as well. Surgeon Simulator VR is out today. That sounds fucking awesome. Yeah. I brought in the VR hoping to try to get a Let's Play done with it. I don't know if we'll actually get it done in time. Lara Croft Go is out. PlayStation 4, Vita.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Play that shit, man. Yeah, no, I beat the hell out of it.
Full disclosure, I date Jen. She's a brand manager on the game.
I played the hell out of it when it came out on the iOS last year. And man, like it's one of those games where you want to go back and 3-star and stuff, and just like now that it has trophies, like
new levels too.
Fucking, new levels,
yeah,
like,
yeah. From co-op.
Give me a reason to go back in. Hell yeah, I think it's my favorite of the Go games. Deus Ex is great, and Hitman Go is awesome as well, but this one's really special.
Yeah. Then Windjammers got announced for PlayStation 4 and Vita,
which honestly, I really appreciate. Don't know shit about that game at fucking all.
Yeah.
But from what I'm reading, it sounds like that's a giant bomb.
It is.
In-joke thing.
There's as soon as it... Well, Geo during the thing made Dave Lang's worst nightmare come true. And then everybody broke out this clip that looks ancient of Dave saying that the Windjammers would never happen. And I don't know what the context is.
I love it, though. Yeah. That's your dreams type shit.
It's also one of those that I think reinforces what PSX is of like, hey... Insulated community that the only percentage of you will understand a Dave Lang reference on stage, but we're gonna fucking make it. What do we care?
That shit's awesome. And as soon as the crash shit started, everybody starts tweeting at me like John Drake.
That was the Patapon thing.
Cool.
Shinobi was tweeting at me about fucking Patapon.
I gotta say, like, I feel like I have a pretty good grasp on games and game history. Like, you at least heard of things, if you've not played them or whatever. And I take a lot of pride in that because I've been playing games for a long time. That was one of those moments where I have no idea what the fuck this game is. Like, it was a moment of deep humility for me as well.
Windjammers, also known as Flying Power Disc in Japan.
It's an SNK game?
Yes. Yeah.
It looks
it's a fast-paced sports action or sports arcade game released by Data East on the Neo Geo arcade system in 1994 and later on the Wii Virtual Console in Japan on June 22nd, 2010.
Oh, in Japan.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so yeah, I never... It looks like a Neo Geo game. It screams like an SNK game, not a huge surprise. Also, they've had a relationship with SNK going a long time. I mean, a lot of SNK Metal Slug and all these games have been coming to Vita and PS4, so not a huge surprise that they're going to continue to roll them out, I guess.
Yep. And then PlayStation VR got a little bit of time. They led, and the main focus was Star Blood Arena PSR, or PSVR. Star Blood Arena was the game. It looks like ship combat or whatever you're running around. Multiplayer, there is a single player mode, Spring 2017.
Interesting wrinkle there is Sony San Diego is helping to produce that game. So I wonder if it's done or has gone through because they pretty much laid everyone off. It's not working on baseball.
Yeah, exactly.
So you have to assume that ship has sailed as well for the people that are working on it internally. But they're still getting credit for it.
Then I was surprised there wasn't more about PlayStation VR, honestly. There was that, and then it was a VR sizzle reel. Star Trek was in there. That was an identifiable game and a few other ones.
Yeah, but I don't understand why they did that. Because there was some cool, like, I don't know, like, what are the touchstones in which you describe the game or go look for things? Yeah. I'm sure that there'll probably be a post on PlayStation blog or whatever, but I thought that was a huge miss because there was a few things in there where I was like, it would have been nice to have known.
Yeah,
I feel like they totally didn't do what I thought they would, which was like kind of bring back all the experiences they talked about at E3. We didn't see Final Fantasy 15, nothing about Star Wars. Like, what? It seemed like such a missed opportunity, and there was no game that made you go, ooh.
Yeah, I was surprised there was no available now.
Yeah.
The Star Wars, you know, or demo or whatever is up and you can go play it right now kind of thing.
Yeah, did I miss some release date or something about the X-Wing?
I saw Ryan McCaffrey tweeting about it. I think it's coming up soon as DLC. Okay.
They reached out to me and told me to come play it. So I it's on the floor, and then I think, yeah, probably somewhat imminent, you would have to assume.
Yeah.
I don't think they're going to hold it for like Battlefront 2 or anything. Like
oh, that. No. Yeah, I think it's just DLC, but I'm not sure what the date is on it. Chat might let us know if they know as this slowly catches up to them. But
yeah, I'm definitely... Where are they going to talk about Wave 2 of PSVR?
Yeah.
They can't wait until E3. That's way too far.
I think that they're probably altering the way they're going about things, as we talked about. It was Info Scout or one of these big marketing firms had released, as we talked about, I think on Colin and Greg or somewhere. They cut their PSVR forecast by 3/4 for the year. It's a massive calamitous collapse of that particular market if people aren't interested in it. I think they were predicting something like 2.8 million or something and then had forecasted down to 750,000.
December 6th, Tuesday, is Star Wars, the VR experience.
Okay, cool.
Comes out
great, good.
And a lot of people are calling out. I think they're missing the point I was making there. They're like, well, Surgeon Simulator VR is out today. They talked about Resident Evil in the front.
Mother Russia bleeds.
And it's like, I understand all that, but I'm saying that there wasn't a VR announcement saying, hey, going forward, hey, get it hyped for 2017 because of this. Mm-hmm. That's all I'm saying.
I think what we're realizing with them is that they're kind of caught between a rock and a hard place with too much hardware to talk about. They talked a little bit about Pro, which is nice. I was surprised they didn't talk about numbers, so they must have not reached that eclipse or don't want to talk about it yet. Maybe they'll save it for January or for another time. But between Vita, which I think that they're not too concerned talking about with anymore, but then Pro and the PS4 Slim, the standard PS4, and then PSVR, I think that they just have too many balls in the air, especially because the thing only lasted like a little over 70 minutes. So I was a little surprised too, but I think PSVR is doing softer numbers than I thought, and I don't know if they really wanted to. They're here. They don't need to talk to these people. That kind of stuff, I think, is for E3, but I think this is the particular quandary that they're in right now.
Yeah,
these people have PSVR, you know.
Sure, but I mean, I want to justify the purchase. I want to show them I'm supporting it. I want to show that you are still going to get AAA, huge experiences, big licenses here. And that's what I'm saying, where I could have just been like, I mean, look at us. We're not even paying attention that the Battlefront thing, you know, first person thing's out Tuesday. That could have easily been a real quick thing. It was just, dun, 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 dun. We're going to show you 2 seconds of it and remind you that it's out Tuesday. Pick it up.
I mean, and that's the thing is like they did it with Last Guardian and they showed trailers to remind you, and they should have reminded us about that.
Yeah, yeah. After the VR sizzle reel, it was Neo, the Team Ninja game, out February 9th.
Looks great.
Yeah, you excited for that one?
Yeah, I'm super stoked about it. As Tim and I were saying, I think it's about as close to Onimusha as we're going to get in terms of style. And I mean that by aesthetic style because the gameplay is not anything like Onimusha. But it's supposed to be like Dark Souls meets Onimusha. So there should be a nice level of difficulty there that's actually absent in the Onimusha games. The Onimusha games weren't hard at all. So I like the idea of this. And also this game, similar to Final Fantasy 15, similar to The Last Guardian, was actually announced a really long time ago and been reworked a lot of times. So we'll see if it can live up to a much smaller level of hype than those other two games had. But this is a game that was announced, I think, when I was in college.
Yeah, and the demo came out a couple months ago, and it had some issues, but the people that played it seemed to love it. It's definitely like one of those darlings.
Yeah, to Tecmo Koei's, or Koei Tecmo, I guess now, they did release those demos in a somewhat broken or somewhat unfinished state intentionally in order to garner feedback, in which they then released another demo with things that were fixed in it, which I think is really cool. As opposed to hyping people up 2 weeks before to release a demo, they're actually soliciting feedback. And I think it's actually a smart marketing move on their behalf as well to get this game out, this very A-level game that's not going to get commercials on TV or sell millions of copies. So
okay. Then they did a whole MLB The Show section. Ken Griffey's there. Mm-hmm. Old school Ken Griffey, home run challenge stuff at the end. That was cool.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, man. Then Horizon got a longer trailer, more stuff. Colin, you're starting to freak out. You've seen too much?
Yeah, at the very end, I really think they're starting to spoil things now. And we're sold on it. It is going to be PlayStation's big franchise. I think that's obvious. And so we're going to get one of these every two and a half years, I think, for a little while. And there's lore and deep lore building here. You know, as we've said before many times, the guy that wrote New Vegas wrote this game. He's going to be sticking around. It looks like a gorilla. He's actually giving a panel or having a signing of some sort, I think, at PSX. I think it's a signing. So they're keeping him around, and they're going to continue to build this world. And so I don't think that there's any... I got very big spoiler vibes from the very end of that trailer. I didn't like what I saw there.
With the metal door opening.
Yeah.
We've seen it before.
Yeah, I've avoided most of the things, and I think that they have to avoid really... Because I try to stay away from anything about this game when I have to watch it. I have to see it. I just don't know what they benefit from teasing that. I think that they should bury the lead there a little bit with the game, just from a thematic standpoint. But it looks awesome. It's going to be great. I played it extensively. It is great. So, yeah. From what I played. So, very close. And again, it's not delayed. I know people think this game's going to get delayed. They're not delaying this game.
And then finally, of course, we end with The Last of Us Part 2. Now, we'll talk about it. While we've been going, Neil Druckmann posted over in the PlayStation blog. I'm going to read you this section, okay? I can't tell you how satisfying it is to finally be able to say that Ellie and Joel are back for another intense, harrowing, and emotional adventure. Like many of you, we have a deep love for the world of The Last of Us and its characters. And while a sequel may have seemed like a foregone conclusion, that wasn't the case. We knew that it needed to be a story worth telling and, perhaps more importantly, a story worthy of Joel and Ellie. After spending years on different ideas, parentheses, and almost giving up, we finally uncovered a story that felt special, a story that evolved into an epic journey. It's still early days for the project. The game's release is a ways off, but we couldn't wait any longer to give you a glimpse of what's to come. We're going to let the trailer, coming soon to this post, speak for itself, but expect more information on The Last of Us Part 2 in the coming months. Mm-hmm. Then he, of course, says that they have a panel tomorrow. No, today, at 2 p.m. If you're watching this live, there'll be a panel there.
But keep telling yourself it's coming out in 2018.
That's
what makes you happy.
Ashley and Troy will be there. Of course, Troy in the Game Over Greggy Show next week.
Awesome.
Shameless plug. Great trailer.
Yeah, the trailer was awesome.
Who do you think she's out to kill?
I assume the Fireflies that are going to be very mad about what happened at the end of the last game. Mm-hmm. So, and I think that we can spoil it pretty easily. I mean, you've had your chance
at this point, yeah.
But you know, the dynamic between Joel and Ellie in the last hour of the game, considering what they were doing, I think in Salt Lake or whatever the fuck they were, makes it they killed a lot of people, a lot of important people, and a lot of knowledgeable people, which is going to be something that becomes more and more scarce in this dystopian world where they're not. There aren't doctors going around. There aren't people with this like systemic knowledge, and they're not going to be too happy with them. And I assume the scene we saw there was maybe an ambush or something like that. That you know will play out in the middle of the game somewhere. But clearly, it's the Fireflies. I mean, yeah,
it looks like it. Yeah, but it's just interesting that she would go on the offensive like that. I wonder if Joel lied to her. If Joel said something else, you know what I mean? And that's now embedded in her head. And that's where he's like, you really want to go through with this? In terms of like, he had to tell her a lie when he whisked her away, right? That it wasn't going to work. They were going to kill you. They were bad people. And now she thinks they're bad people. And now she wants to go out this. And every time they come for retribution or to, we really need your help. She has it in her head that you can't be trusted. And you need to die.
So when we play the game in, you know, I assume 2019, we'll have a nice, maybe a little later than that, but I would say no sooner than 2019. I think what we'll have is a nice little, you know, a reason to go back and play the original one again.
Sure.
And see how they connect. And what I would really love is if there was some sort of, again, like these games being so intimate, this being part two, what's exciting about this is the idea that they could patch The Last of Us on PS4 or even make it available for free on PlayStation Plus, say in the spring of 2019 or whatever, with some heavy patches that let you that somehow garner the way you play or some things that happen in the game that will affect The Last of Us 2 in not systemic Mass Effect ways, obviously, but in ways where it's like, well, this is pretty cool. Like certain things or certain, you know, she has a certain line here because of some the way she killed a certain person. Whatever. I think that would be pretty neat. And it gives them, then they have a lot of time to figure that out. I doubt that's going to happen.
That's not going
to
happen, but yeah.
But it would be a pretty neat thing. More along the style of what we really wanted with Infamous.
That shit looks fucking good. The thing with Last of Us, and we've talked about it so many times, but like it doesn't need a sequel. And like the first one was so good that it could have just been there and been done with it. And the fact that we're getting one with Joel and Ellie, it's surprising me because this shows, and like you said in the blog post, that they do believe in this and they do believe that there is something worth telling because they wouldn't do it otherwise. And because it's going to face a lot of scrutiny and them going forward with it is very exciting because that shows that this game, they believe, could be better than the first one.
Mm-hmm.
So that's awesome.
Yeah.
I think, you know, I sat with Neil. We've sat with him many times, but when I was doing the history of Naughty Dog and then I went back down there with follow-ups, I asked him about a sequel, and it's exactly what he said, and it's exactly what I relayed to people a long time ago, which is like, we don't have a story to tell, and we need to figure that out first. And that's what he reiterates in the blog post that I had just read, that you read as well, that I just read before right around when the show started, which is that I like that they are not forcing it. I do think The Last of Us could use a sequel. I think it could stand alone too, but I think it was clearly wasn't going to. And the financial imperative is certainly there for them to do it as well. And I think that there's more stories to tell. I wouldn't be surprised if this wasn't the last one either. But I do think, again, similar to the way we talk about Uncharted, could Uncharted continue without Drake? I think it actually could. I just think you have to give it a lot of space and time. And yeah. I think the way the game ends indicates that it's going to continue in a different way in the future. And I think you can do the same thing with The Last of Us 2. Give us one more with Joel and Ellie and then let it breathe a little bit. And then maybe we'll get, by the time this game comes out, 2019, 2020, whatever, we're going to be, more anxious for it than maybe it seems right now. So I think even people that are skeptical about it will come around, And in the meantime, that's what's so exciting. That's why you just know that this game is so far away, not only because they're saying it, but also because there's so many unannounced studios that Sucker Punch, we don't know what they're working on.
I was going to say, do you think Sucker Punch goes before Last of Us 2?
Yeah, I think whatever Sucker Punch is working on will definitely be out before The Last of Us 2. They're probably just not ready or anxious or wanting to show anything yet.
Don't need to.
I think that's an E3 given.
Exactly, yeah.
But I also think that we have a stack of games piling up now of AAA exclusives that we've been waiting for that fill out a good 2 years on the calendar between 2017
God of War, Detroit Become Human. So there's no reason. Horizon, obviously.
Spider-Man.
Why?
So even if The Last of Us 2 was ready in 2018, there's no way it's going to be. But even if it was going to happen, there's no reason for them to actually push it there.
Yeah.
Let them take their time, and they're going to do that as everyone on the team lurches back after the Uncharted DLC comes out.
Now, Colin,
mm-hmm.
we have a lot of questions.
Sure.
Piling up on Twitter, piling up in Twitch. But this is an official numbered episode of PS I Love You XOXO. So if I wanted to know what was coming to the digital mom and grop and retail shops, where would I go?
It's not up yet. The drop
it is up. They put it up.
Did they put it up?
Yeah, they put it up.
You want me to really read this stuff?
Yeah, why not? Give them a real show.
All right, you go to the official list of upcoming PlayStation 4, PlayStation 3, PlayStation Vita, PlayStation VR, sometimes PSP. They never do this on a... Where is it?
I can email you if you want.
No, I can find it. No, it's okay. I'll find it.
I think they put it out so it wouldn't get buried in time. It wouldn't get buried on Sunday by all the PSS.
Hashtag Kill All Zombies comes to Vita. Digital. Hashtag Kill All Zombies is thrusting civilians into a fight of survival against the unleashed population of ravenous zombies. And you're the only one who's destined... Only one who destined to repulse them. That's what it says. Who destined to repulse them. 3-on-3 freestyle comes to PS4 digital. Welcome to one of the most vibrant, diverse, exciting, and competitive sports in the world, street basketball. Pick your player from a pool of custom-designed, one-of-a-kind characters based on real-life street basketball players. Team up with your friends online or in person and hit the court to play authentic, fast-paced gameplay. Arcade Archives Neo Geo Samurai Showdown comes out to PS4 digital. It's a Thursday release. Samurai Showdown is a fighting game that was originally released by SNK in 1993. The game features 12 sword masters, each with their own unique personality. They will battle among each other before taking on Shiro Tokisada Amakusa in the game's climax.
Okay. Gotcha.
Ark Survival Evolved finally comes to PlayStation 4
finally,
digital.
Finally, yeah, it's been forever.
Stranded on the shores of a mysterious island, you must learn to survive. Use your cunning to kill or tame the primeval creatures roaming the land and encounter other players to survive, dominate, and escape. Demetrios, the Big Cynical Adventures, comes to Vita, digital. Demetrios is a quirky adventure game packed with tons of humor. Bjorn Thonin, a slob of an antique dealer living in Paris, is robbed one night after coming home drunk. Forced to conduct his own investigation with the help of his neighbor Sandra, he ends up involved in a murky, mysterious affair. Will these unlikely heroes be able to rise up and discover ancient secrets?
Betting on it.
You think they're going to get this one, Tim?
I think they got it.
They got these secrets? Yeah. Okay.
Flying Bunny comes to PlayStation 4 digital. It's out on Thursday. Gravity-bound shooting runner. Cute anime characters with cool abilities. Over 25 bosses with powerful attacks. Never-ending stages.
All right, I'm YouTubing this.
What? It's just those are just bullet points put into a paragraph.
The Last Guardian comes to PlayStation 4 digital and retail. In a strange and mystical land, a young boy discovers a mysterious creature with which he forms a deep, unbreakable bond. The unlikely pair must rely on each other to escape towering, treacherous ruins filled with unknown dangers. Experience the journey of a lifetime.
It's finally here. Yep. Last Guardian's here.
Nubla comes to PS4 digital. Discover the wonderful world of Nubla, full of puzzles and forgotten places. Who has not dreamed of plunging into one of the paintings hanging on the wall of a museum and venturing into an unknown world?
Kevin, you've been doing that? You've been dreaming about jumping into paintings? He's nodding yes.
Red Faction comes to PlayStation 4 digital. Lured to Mars by the Ultra Corporation's promise of a better life. Thousands have come to seek their fortune and work for the massive mining company. But all is not as it seems. A deadly plague is sweeping through the barracks, and miners suffer daily abuse at the hands of the Ultra Guards. Is a revolution on the horizon. I've bought many, many hundreds of games in my life, and I remember specifically buying Red Faction.
Fuck yeah, I remember
actually going and buying it. Yeah, I was so excited about it. I was
punch holes in the goddamn wall. Are you kidding me?
I was a senior in high school, I think.
Yeah, it was my freshman year of college, so that checks out.
Space Overlords comes to PlayStation 4 and Vita, digital. Four brothers known as the Overlords have been incarcerated by the evil Kessidian for many years while he has slowly destroyed the cosmos. You and your brothers must rise up and purge the evil contaminating the planets you have nurtured over the centuries. Werewolves Within.
A little less evil.
Werewolves comes to PlayStation VR, digital.
Oh my god.
And retail. After several attacks on townsfolk, the medieval village of Galveston has had enough. With a special guidebook in hand, players congregate to vote and eliminate any and all possible werewolves hiding disguised in the village. Werewolves Within is a fast-paced game of hidden roles and social deduction for 5 to 8 players.
Whoa!
It's very interesting.
Tim, you want to be a werewolf with me?
Sure.
And that is all for the games.
Excellent, Colin. Thank you so much. Let's jump into reader mail. Mail call.
Maelstrom.
Mika. On Twitter says, predicted Crash remaster release date. Would like to know what Tim Geddes thinks.
I'm a little concerned they didn't say spring 2017 or March 2017. It feels like a March game to me.
Mm. This strikes me as this could do good in the summer.
It's too late.
Too late for what?
Me.
Oh, okay. You can't wait that long.
Yeah, I don't know. I want this earlier than later. Like, let's get things
but
moving.
I mean, like, you figure you don't want... I mean, the spring this year is fucking packed right now. There's so many good games.
Yeah, but I mean, these are the remastered platformer games. Like, they're not long to play.
Sure.
But
you want them to shine. You want them to shine. You want people to get excited and have money for them.
I know, but like, think about it this way.
I'm thinking.
I want it to come out before the Switch comes out.
Oh, no fucking way. Yeah, like, no. That was never going to happen.
Why? It could have.
No, before March?
No, well, early March. Like, the week before the Switch.
Nah, you're screwed.
I'd have been down.
No, no, not going to happen.
You'll
still be playing that Horizon. You'll be all up in that.
It's true.
Yeah, you're gonna be okay. Don't worry.
I don't know, man. I don't know if I'm gonna be okay.
I think you can.
If this shit comes out the week of E3, I'm gonna be pissed.
Why? That's what happened Last of Us. It was fine. Everybody's fine.
No.
Yep, it did. I remember that. It was so weird.
Yeah.
I was so happy that we got it early. So I was happy to get it out of the way. I would have been so angry.
That's what I'm saying.
You'll get Crash early.
I hope.
They'll let you play Crash early. Don't worry.
I'm playing Crash tomorrow.
And also, no one can spoil it for you.
You can play too if you're a PSX.
Yeah. People were telling me in the chat that Jeff Keighley's periscoping it right now. He's over there playing his demo right now.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Over on Twitter, at SL, the FMA says, in what ways do you think this PSX conference rivaled Sony's E3 conference from this year? I think they're apples and oranges to an extent.
Yeah.
I tweeted about it last night. PSX is my favorite show, and it's my favorite conference. And the reason is they're speaking directly to us and you and every nerdy PlayStation fan who loves Kind of Funny content. And so to have Gio out there holding a Vita, talking about it, making jokes, talking about fucking Dave Lang is awesome, while the E3 Sony conference is... This year especially, trailer, 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 hype. Here's all these amazing AAA things you're getting knocked on your ass that you didn't expect to get.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I love that, but I love this too, because the PSX conference, for better or worse, always feels like a conference we produced.
Yeah.
It feels like we'd be like, oh yeah, come show your Vita game. Yeah, come do this dumb thing.
Yeah, it's interesting. I feel like it's a nice answer to their E3 conference, where it's just like, all right, cool. They did this, and then this is kind of the thing of like seeing the feedback of what other people are saying to like kind of counteract it. But the problem is you can't please everybody always. So with this, there's people who are going to complain about certain things that they'll be answered E3, hopefully, if they keep up with this trend. Because at any moment, they can fuck it up and go back to how things used to be.
Sure.
So
I don't think they will.
Yeah, I think, so the cool thing about it is, I agree with you, Greg, that there are apples and oranges. I think there are different kinds of shows. And what I think what's important here to garner, especially with The Last of Us 2, is I'm not a huge fan of showing games so far away. We're talking about a game that's 3 years away, right?
Maybe, possibly.
I mean, probably even more. So I feel like, let's just say it's 3 years away, right? It comes out fall 2019. Or maybe 2.5 years, spring 2019. What's important now is to just show and then kind of retreat and make the game. And then only come back when you have something to show again. Because I was so happy to not see Kojima on the stage. I was so happy not to see Death Stranding shown in a different way. It's like, just, this isn't good. This doesn't work out. It almost never works out the way you want it to when this kind of thing happens. And so that's my one big takeaway. It's like, yeah, show us a little something, but sprinkle it in there. in a very anti-Bethesda kind of move, but then go away. And I think that's exactly what's going to happen. I don't think you'll see The Last of Us 2 even at E3. So I think that the show was a great success. I was happy with a lot of the games that were shown. And I think that between E3 and between this, I think all bases are covered. And now we have a lot of really game, you know, both first and second party exclusives to be excited about, as well as some third party stuff, obviously, that we're excited about, all kind of culminating over the next 18 months to 24 months. And so I think that that's really, really super exciting. Plus games like Death Stranding and Uncharted, or The Last of Us 2, rather, that are clearly very, very far away. Yeah. And just dangle those a little bit, but be smart enough to dangle them responsibly.
Well, I mean, that's dangle the whole thing.
Responsible.
Dangle your dingleberries responsibly. But that's what you're talking about, right? Is that it was very clear that, okay, cool, we have so much shit going on that, yeah, there's no reason for Spider-Man here. There's no reason for God of War here. There's no reason for Detroit here. We don't have to do that. You have the most up-to-date information and looks at those games. They'll come along when they need to come along.
Mm-hmm. What do you take about Druckmann saying that we'll get more information in the coming months?
I think that's probably whatever. You know what I mean? That's like, exactly. I mean, that's just such... whatever statement, because I mean, 12 months from now is still the coming months. There's still something to be said, and I mean, there's going to be, I'm sure, information and teas and this, that, the other, and you know, like on Twitter, I'm sure there'll be, now that we know it's happening, I'm sure you'll see Ashley and Troy putting up images from the mocap area. You know what I mean, when they're out there doing their stuff, and I don't think that's.
Yeah, I think based on the fluctuations at Naughty Dog in terms of what happened between Drake's Fortune and created Project Big, obviously, and to Uncharted 2, they were able to do that as one team very quickly. And so there's reason to take heart in a quick turnaround, but the really truly quick and astonishing turnarounds happen when they split into two and then had Uncharted 3 and The Last of Us wins in 2 years. And now that they've combined back into one and had such problems with Uncharted 4, although a lot of that happened on the production side with Amy leaving and all that kind of stuff, my theory is that they're just going to take all the time they need, and I bet you then internally they probably don't even have a target. That it's just, we're going to make the game. We're going to be very deliberate about making the game. They're going to take their time. It's probably going to be, there'll probably be a date announced, then delayed. And I think what's most important to them, and I think Sony knows this, I think Naughty Dog, Neil, and Bruce clearly know this, and I think also all the people in that ecosystem and in that orbit know that they're just going to release it when it's ready. Mm-hmm. And it's so exciting to think that we're going to get something, you know, go back into that world again. I'm so fucking excited. The Last of Us is so immaculate. It's so good, and it's, for as good as Uncharted is, The Last of Us is better than any of those games. And so I'm super, super excited for Neil and Bruce to get back in there. So excited.
I want to give a shout out to Peanut0423 in the chat. When I mentioned that Keeley was periscoping Crash Bandicoot, he says, I'm surprised Keeley's not in Japan killing Konami employees.
God damn.
That one got me. Good job, Peanut. Everybody wants to talk about The Last of Us Part 2. So Chris Moore says, there is talk that Joel could be dead and Ellie is imagining him there. Would you accept that twist?
Yes.
It's a really interesting take, and I totally would accept that, because that was my thing of, like, I'm looking at the hands while the guitar is going. I'm trying to see if she has breasts, and I'm trying to figure out, is this Ellie? And when they pull back and it is Ellie and she's been aged up, I was like, okay. And then when Joel walked in, granted, it's basically a silhouette. He's in the doorway. He didn't look grayer. He didn't look older. And again, first glance, I'm watching off a TV 5 feet away from me. That I'm immediately turning those wheels too. That would be fucking awesome, I think, if it was. That would make sense. That would make sense, finally. I don't think it makes sense for her to say, I'm going to go kill everyone. I'm going to go kill all of them that did this to the Fireflies who are hunting them. That doesn't make sense to me. If the Fireflies killed Joel and now she's out on her own and he's in her head, are you really going to do this? And she goes, yeah, I'm going to go out and get every one of them. That makes perfect sense for the setup of that game.
Yeah, it's possible. I think we're getting, and that's...
Lame?
Lame. I don't like that. That's so generic. We'll see. I trust him.
But if you start the game, think of it this way. Like you said, the cutscene could be halfway through the game. If you start the game with Joel, everything's fine. You've been living on the farm for whatever, 2 years, 3 years. Hooray, we're at the fucking Hydro Dam. Then Fireflies get there and they're like, motherfucker, you guys killed all of our, you know, our brain trust here. Mm-hmm. And they start a war or whatever, like Negan and the Hilltop or whatever. And then the war happens. Joel gets killed, right? And then she's on the run. She finds this house. She kills all these guys. She sits there and starts playing the guitar from the song Joel taught her or whatever. And then in her head, he walks in. She has this conversation that is the, yeah, I'm going to go do this. And I'm not saying from there on out, he's like, okay, it's not okay, like Joker and okay. Batman okay, Arkham Knight, cool. spoilers. That's it's like thing. Literally, that's it. I'm going to kill every one of these motherfuckers. Cool. She gets up and walks out and he's never seen
if
again.
We get a moment, I'm okay with that. Okay. But if it's just like, it's like Joel and LA just freaking kind of.
No. Oh, I don't want the whole thing. Ghost.
No.
And I don't want it to be like Usual Suspects at the end. It turns out he was never there.
Some Obi-Wan Kenobi bullshit.
Yeah, no. Well, quite
the thing is that that's entirely possible and maybe even likely, depending on your interpretation of that. I'll have to watch it again.
Yeah.
But we're the fan. You can't start fan theories already. Like,
yeah, you can. We used to write articles about all this shit that early.
I know, but it was. In hindsight, it's like
it's fun.
I don't know. I just they teased it and let's like see what that more they have to say. I'm sure they'll answer these questions. And spinning our wheels for a lot of nothing. Although I think that like it's easier to do this than it is with like Death Stranding when you have it's like a fucking acid trip.
Guillermo del Toro is stealing invisible babies. Everyone understands that one just fine. That one makes perfect sense too when you think about it. Pie Guy X says, while we've been doing this, they put up a Persona 5 story trailer from PSX. Cool. I'm good. Just fucking put out Persona. I don't need to see any more. You know what I mean? Come on now. Yeah. Everybody's just chatting now. All the comments are about Last of Us. We've covered that for a while here. So I guess you want to do some final thoughts on PSX? It was great. I thought that was a great conference.
It was a very, very awesome conference. I think it was a great palate cleanser. For some other, you know, more subpar conferences or things that didn't go quite as planned. I think Sony's been doing a really nice job. I think things are getting much more competitive between Sony and Microsoft the last year or so. And so I think Sony needs to, and Sony is in really no danger of losing this generation, but the next year to 18 months is going to be very interesting for them as Scorpio rolls out and as Sony or as Microsoft starts getting some of these big games out that have been incubating on their side. And so I think Sony coming out with a preemptive strong foot forward for 2017, 2018, 2019, I think makes a lot of sense. I think they have to continue to manage very smartly and very wisely this portfolio that's growing exponentially. As people have pointed out many times, they keep adding games to the first party roster without really releasing anything. So now you have like this welling of water behind a cracking dam that's about to break out, I think, with Horizon, and then you're gonna have Gran Turismo and so on and so forth. God of War, Days Gone, you know, The Last Guardian obviously coming out soon, Gravity Rush 2, people are excited about that. So I think that this was a really, really great conference. Small audience comparably compared to the huge arena that they would play to typically at E3, much more targeted message catered to that particular audience, to the me and yous and all of us of the world that have our Vitas and have our PSVR units. And so I think that they should be applauded for doing a very nice job showing a lot of restraint. No need, you know, one of the interesting things that we haven't really talked about that I think is a good kind of buttress to this or an end note is no Days Gone. We didn't know, we knew God of War wasn't going to be there.
Yeah, we talked about this. Yeah, you were looking at some stuff. No Spider-Man, no Detroit, no Days Gone. I mean, they have they don't need to do that.
Really pleased about that. And I think that that's really smart because now they have this like sorting hat that you can just kind of grab a few things out of every show moving forward. And I think you can also start to see a dynamic sort of release schedule kind of taking shape based on the way that they're talking or not talking about specific games. And so I really do think that Horizon and Gran Turismo, obviously early to mid 2017 games, but I think you're going to get one of those games dropped at the end of 2018. My theory is that it's going to be Detroit or Days Gone. And then in 2019 or 2018, you start moving into God of War and you start moving into whatever the other game wasn't that was there. Hopefully something unannounced, maybe Sucker Punch's game in there, Spider-Man. Then in 2019, you get The Last of Us 2. You get some other things, Death Stranding. I think you see things starting to turn a little bit. And this is when it needs to happen because PlayStation, I don't want to say struggling. I think that's hyperbolic, but it's not quite so clear that they're just killing everyone now. And so this happened at a very opportune time, and I think that they should be applauded for that. It was a great conference.
Yeah.
It's Tim. A metaphor. Ellie is a metaphor for PlayStation. They're going to kill them all.
Oh, okay. I see what you're saying.
Fantastic conference. Oh, my God. I love this, man. I love this era that we're in that people get it. People fucking get it. It reminds me a lot of what we've seen with things like the Transformers cartoons, the Ninja Turtle cartoons, where people grew up with them. So now the new ones coming out are fantastic because they're being made by people that fucking love those franchises that mean something. And I think that press conferences and stuff are getting to that point where these are people that grew up reading EGM, people that grew up watching these press conferences on IGN or wherever they did. And they're now designing them and making a run of show and producing them in a way that is well-paced and is giving the people what they want while also being realistic and creating a nice kind of forecast of a schedule that people are going to be really excited about. And it's like it's telling you why you are a PlayStation fan, why you should be a PlayStation fan, and why you're going to keep being a PlayStation fan.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
And thank God Shuhei was there.
No Batman, though.
Yeah, no Batman that, in any that's way. Not...
Not
that,
here, not at the Game Awards.
Yeah, but the Batman, Damian Wayne rumor thing that's been going around, I think that was just timed with this. I don't think it was timed with they're going to announce it at one of these shows as much as it just kind of happened and got caught up in the same thing.
I mean, from everything I'm reading... That not happening is as shocking as if Marvel vs. Capcom 4 wasn't there.
Wow, okay.
Because like, some of these things are just so intrinsically tied where I'm like, neither of these things, there was anything for Batman? Shocking.
And don't forget Patapon. Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, if I can just ask you one favor, just buy this Patapon release when it comes out. I don't even care if you don't play it. Just do it so they keep making Patapons.
And Crash.
And Crash. Buy Crash 2 for 10. I'll get on that train right now. That's Reader Mail. And it was brought to you, ladies and gentlemen, by Blue Apron. If you didn't know, I've used Blue Apron. I like Blue Apron. They send food to your door that you get to cook, and you get to look like a badass. Because you know what, Tim?
Mm-hmm.
Cooking's fun. I like cooking.
Yeah, I know you do. You have great Instagram posts about it.
Thank you very much.
Me very jealous.
Instagram.com/GameOverGreggy. Blue Apron is the number one fresh ingredient and recipe delivery service in the country. It's very simple. They send you prepackaged goodies along with a nice little checklist of what you need to do. You tear them open, you make them, you do all the stuff, you put it in the pot, you put it in the pan, then you bring it out and you put it on the plate, and people go, holy shit, this guy can cook. And you're like, yeah, I can. Don't tell them it was Blue Apron, though, because Blue Apron makes it so simple to do. It's a lot of fun. It's super simple to do. The food's good. It's healthy. They made buffalo chicken sandwiches once for me. I was a big, big fan. They've also made the burgers, the cheddar burgers with the pretzel buns.
Ooh.
Yeah, they taught me how to make French fries with the potato, cut them into the wedges, do all the stuff. I still use that recipe.
They teach you things.
They do. So, ladies and gentlemen, you should try Blue Apron and use our code. It's very simple. Check out this week's menu and get your first three meals for free with free shipping by going to blueapron.com/ILoveYou. You will love how good it feels and tastes to create incredible home-cooked meals with Blue Apron. So don't wait. That's blueapron.com/ILoveYou. Colin?
Yes.
Are you ready to meet your new best friend?
Yes.
This, of course, is a segment we call P.S. I Love This Best Friend, XOXO. This is where one of you beautiful people goes to kindoffunny.com/forums, goes to the P.S. I Love You XOXO board, and posts your PSN name so you can be inundated with friend requests for the games you want to play and just messages of being awesome, because everybody loves to be reminded that they are great on the PlayStation Network. This one comes from Sam. Sam writes in and says, hey, dudes. I'm just a guy looking for what all men need at some point in their lives. Help delivering cocaine. I've been loving the new biker DLC in GTA Online, but all of my friends who play live across the pond. Parentheses. You can say that in an accent if you'd like. I don't like that. Mm-hmm. I'd love a few new friends who want to help me and my biker club, Sergeant Peppas, like salt and pepper, rule the roads of Los Santos and drive off into the sunset popping wheelies. Love what you guys do, Sam. Sam's PSN name is S Worms 1989. S Worms 1989.
I'd say Swarms, even though it's not
Swarms.
Spelled correct.
No, it got Worm. No, he should have picked a better PSN name if he wanted that, which you still can't change him. You still can't change your PSN names, but we'll get to that. Time, Tim, for the forgotten PlayStation game of the week. You ready for this one?
Yes.
He says. Wait, who said this? How do you... Specky? Specky's.
It's Specky, but I'm going to go Specky.
Specky says, greetings from Ireland. Wait for Greg to say something about his shillelagh. Oh, my shillelagh. Got to go down to the Irish Spring, don't you know? Oh, my shillelagh, Amy Giggles. I got a suggestion for this week's forgotten PlayStation game. Let me cast you back to the distant year of 2007. PSN was brand new. Thank you very much. Trophies didn't exist, and most importantly, the now defunct game developer Game Republic released Toy Home for the PlayStation 3. Colin, do you remember Toy Home?
No.
It's not that great, but it was such a deep cut I had to use it.
It was forgotten.
Designed to showcase the power of the six-axis controller, the game would have players smashing a toy car into different obstacles using only the accelerator button and motion controls. I remember playing this at no end. A cheap, fun experience for all ages. Thanks for all you folks do. Specky.
I don't remember this game at all.
I remember this. I mean, this is... It was in 2007. I'm not sure if you were there yet, but I remember
the second one that stumped me so far as we started the show. I've never seen this one.
I remember. I think I don't know if I reviewed it, but I definitely did videos for IGN for the PlayStation team for it, of playing Toy Home, driving this little fucking antique car around, slamming into shit, acting like an idiot. Thanks a lot, Dunham. God damn it. Now it's time for PSN's worst name of the week. Of course, ladies and gentlemen, when you make a PlayStation Network name, you can't change it. no matter how many press conferences come and go, you're never able to change your name. So each and every week here on PS I Love You XOXO, we beg Shuhei Yoshida to let him change. This one comes from Speefy Dump. In the name of the Colin, the Greg, and the holy Shuhei, my last confession was 10 years ago. Forgive me, PSN admins, for I have sinned. I must confess that way back in the pre-trophy era, me and my best friend thought it was a good idea to play a little Crystal Bassoon the night I got my PlayStation 3 for the first time. One thing led to another, and our adolescent minds gave me the PSN name Fishy Taco 696969.
Yes.
That name lasted for a while until I got balls deep in Modern Warfare's multiplayer. Upon getting banned after a few weeks of that, I reemerged as the illustrious Fishy Taco Pounder. Once that was banned as well and all trophies rolled around, I changed my tune and decided to go with a fairly innocuous username this is an interesting sentence structure. Basically saying he ends with, I miss the Fishy Taco. He's a boring name.
Oh,
sorry. Speefy Dump, but it might've been Speedy Dump, but it says F in there. He says sincerely, Hail Colin. We're sorry you have such a bad name. Shuhei, please let him change his name back to something crazy.
Fishy Taco 6969, all right. But Fishy Taco Pounder, too far, dude.
Fishy Taco 6969, I don't think that doesn't even sound offensive enough to get banned.
Yeah.
Fishy Taco 6969, this story's fishy. 696969, if you're asking me.
Yeah, why? I don't know that Fishy Taco 6969 would have gotten you banned without you doing something on it.
Yeah, he's probably just cheating, being a dick.
Fishy Taco Pounder. A little more explicit.
Yeah.
But is it even that? Is that explicit? I know it's very graphic and it definitely hits me in a way that I'm like,
you like it?
No, I'm offended.
Oh wow, okay, my problem.
But I don't think that would get banned.
Sure. But it did, apparently. Mm. Or he's just lying. And either way, they're lying. Funny name. Well, whatever, I don't care. Somebody ban him from the forums. That's how Kevin, get on it. Ban him from kindoffunny.com/forums. You're just clapping. PSN's worst name of the week was brought to you by someone as well. And before I read the ad, I just do want to point out, cut me some slack. Usually I'm better at spacing out the ads, but it's a special show where we're running through all this different stuff. This bad PSN name was brought to you by MVMT Watches. That's Movement Watches. Tim, mm-hmm. We got these Movement Watches,
yes,
didn't we?
Did.
They're very nice. They're fancy.
Yes.
They're cheap too. Cause you know, watch retailers, they jack up the price. Are you aware of this?
Mm-hmm.
You can get these starting at $95. They're a good deal.
Damn good deal.
I have one that's a black band. Kevin, black thing. Oh, here it is. Is this mine or is it? That's mine, isn't it?
It is yours. Yeah.
They have the black one, black band, black face, little bit of red hands on there. Mm-hmm. Big fan of that one. And their whole shtick right now is, we get it. Holiday shopping can be tough, but thanks to MVMT watches, all that gift-giving anxiety can disappear with the press of a button. These watches make the perfect purchase for just about anyone in your life, guy or girl. And remember, they start at $95. Movement watches, again, $95. At a department store, you're looking at $400 to $500, but Movement figured out a way that by selling online, they were able to cut out the middleman and get rid of the retailer markup. They have more than 500,000 watches sold in more than 160 countries. But of course, it's the internet. You put it on my shoulder?
It's like your championship.
What time is it? Oh, looks like...
It's fashionable in many different ways.
I can't see. It's too close to my face. My glasses don't work that way. Ladies and gentlemen, get 15% off today with free shipping and free returns by going to movementwatches.com/love. This watch has a really clean design, and Tim gets compliments on it all the time.
It's true.
Now's the time to step up your watch game. Go to mvmtwatches.com/love and join the movement. Ladies and gentlemen, this has been PS I Love You XOXO episode 64. It's been a whirlwind. It's been different. It's been crazy. Thank you for joining us live. If you're joining us live, thank you. If you go to the PSX conference and you go to our panel tomorrow, Sunday, noon, of course, followed by a meet and greet at 1 o'clock right there. If you didn't know, PS I Love You XOXO is kindoffunny.com's PlayStation podcast. It posts every Tuesday at 9 a.m. Pacific time on podcast services and youtube.com/kindoffunnygames. And, of course, it's all gravy because you're so good to us. You take care of us, and we love you a lot. You're really good people. You make it the number one PlayStation podcast. Tomorrow hasn't happened yet, but I'm sure you're all going to come out and support us there. It'll be a crazy crowd, and everybody's going to be insane. We have a bunch of cool guests, and it's going to be awesome. Remember, you're hearing this early. The PSX panel will go up as Tuesday at 9 a.m.'s episode, because that's how we roll. Every episode of PS I Love You XOXO ends in a song in a segment we call Singing a Shuhei. This is where one of you talented motherfuckers goes to kindoffunny.com/PSM and gives me an MP3 of your song and a YouTube link of your song. I put the MP3 at the end of our MP3 and I annotate to your YouTube at the end of our YouTube. Today's comes from Austin Killian. Austin Killian says, "What's up, Colin and Greg?" Not much. PSX was pretty good. "Longtime listener here and itching to have the classy Greg Miller read this message and help share this song with the world. But more importantly, share this song with Naughty Dog. You see, I'm just a young married man with his first child on the way and have the desire to support my new family by following my dreams and scoring the soundtrack or trailer music for video games. After playing The Last of Us a few years back, I decided to play my guitar to see where this masterpiece left my mind emotionally, and this song is what finally turned out. Not only would I love to have this beautiful community listen to it, but to share it with the best developers in the industry, Naughty Dog. Golly gee, it would make me the happiest little school girl to be contacted by them and have my song in one of their trailers or something for The Last of Us 2. You can go to finleyhouse.bandcamp.com to download this song. It's called Story of Ish. Tweet the link to Neil and Bruce if you want to, and help me out trying to make my dreams come true. So ladies and gentlemen, this is the Story of Ish. It's inspired by The Last of Us. It's from Austin Killian. You can go to finleyhouse.bandcamp.com to get it. And until next time, it's been our pleasure to serve you.